We're going through a study called What is Your Ministry? What is your ministry? And we're looking at, we have been looking at, I should say, the gifts of God, at least five that we wanted to share here as we get started. The gift of God's written word. God gives us his word and truth to know him and to trust in him, to know that we can have faith in him for salvation from sin. The gift of God's Son, who provides that salvation. We get him by calling on Jesus in faith. And the gift of eternal life is a gift within the gift of Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ, that eternal life is also provided for the believer. And then we looked at the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, call on him for salvation through faith, the Holy Spirit is sent to dwell within us. We looked at that in Scripture as well. The last gift is the one we're really going to focus on for a while, and that is the gifts of the Spirit, which help us in not only knowing what to do to minister for God and for the Lord Jesus, but how to do it, strength to do it, etc. All that, and we're going to look at that, get started on that tonight, starting in verse number 1. So here's what I'd like for us to do. Let's read verses 1 to verse 13. We'll just read all those verses back and forth. We'll read responsively, please. I'll read verse 1 if you'd read verse 2. And we'll stop at verse number 13. And then we'll continue some more discussion on our study tonight. What is your ministry? The gifts of the Spirit. I'll start with verse number 1 here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, but endureth with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Tonight we want to look at the gifts of the Spirit. If you look at verse number 6, Apostle Paul here writing to the church in Rome, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then he goes on to share some of what those are. I want to see what is this idea of serving the Lord through gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's within us. What does he do? Does he just, we just walk around with him like our keys in our pocket, and when we need them, we pull them out? That's not the way God wants it to be. He wants to use you and me, and he sent us the Holy Spirit in order that we can be used by him. What are some things Paul says here? And there's other passages we're going to look at as well, of course, not just here, but tonight we want to focus on Romans 12, how God can use us with the Spirit of God's power and use his power to work through us. So we're looking at tonight the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us as we continue on here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that wonderful gift, Lord, of his presence, his counsel, his comfort, Lord. And now, Lord, show us how we can give ourselves over to him so that he can use us. So you and your plan and the Lord Jesus, we can follow all these things, Lord, for the betterment of the body of Christ and the reaching of souls outside of the body of Christ. We ask you to get the glory tonight. Pray you'd help us, Lord, to grow a little bit closer to our Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit. Some thoughts here. I don't have a lot of other scriptures to turn to, but if I could have some help, let's do that. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Who would read that for us? Bob's going to read that. Thank you, sir. Then we have, and I'm going to try and get to it, John chapter 3 and verse number 30. John 3, verse 30. Who would read that? All right, Daryl's got that for us tonight. Thank you. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. Who would like to share that tonight? Sister Carolyn, thank you. And then one more. And like I say, we'll try to get to them all. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. And Judy's going to read that. Thank you. All right, here we are. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Each believer is called to offer his or her life, body, etc., to God. Offer his or her life to God. That is God's desire for you and for me. If you're saved tonight, he wants everything you've got. Why is that? Who knows better what to do with stuff, you or the Lord? Me or God? Well, certainly God wins out on that every time. And it's wise, it's reasonable, it's the best decision we can make. As the Bible puts it here, it is your reasonable service. It is the most logical thing to do. It reasons out to be the right thing for us as well as for the Lord. Each believer is called to do that. God enables the surrendered believer to live the will of God. Notice verse 2 again here in chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God enables the surrendered believer to live the will of God. The Bible tells us here to prove that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove here means to test with the idea that it's going to pass. We know this works. We know that it can be approved, and we need God's help to get the job done. 1 Corinthians 3:13 tells us there's going to be a time we'll stand before God and have this done. Stand before Christ, I should say, in 1 Corinthians 3.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's a future day. That's when the Christian stands before Jesus there, and our motives and our what we have done in this life, whether it's to serve the Lord or serve some other desires, God's going to make clear on that. We can't hide behind anybody else. We can't say, well, you know, this is what my routine was. Jesus is going to see everything free and clear. Until that day, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call on me and rest in my power to prove what is that good and perfect will of God today. That what you do today meets the standard of God's will. And that doesn't happen without surrendering to him, surrendering my life to him. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transforming of the renewing of your mind, that's a spiritual decision, amen? That's a spiritual decision. I can't see it in you, you can't see it in me, but you have to make it. I can't make it for you, and vice versa. God wants you and I to make that decision before him, and we can then be used for him even in more than we thought. Each believer is to think humbly, however, humbly and soberly. Look at verse number 3 there. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humbly, the Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So where is the test for what's the highest of how high we ought to think of ourselves? Well, again, that's based on what the Holy Spirit would tell you if you're surrendered to Him as you seek the words. And God's Word tells us who we are, what we are in God's eyes. As I said, some people think that they're less than what God made them, and so they choose to take the life that God gave them and toss it away. And that's a sad point. That's a sad thing that happens all the time. We don't see it that in God's Word. God made you as the highest of His creation. Amen. When Jesus came to die for sin, He didn't die so that the trees and everything else, animals, could somehow live better. He died so that you could live better. Amen. And live eternally. That's why it's important to see what God sees in surrender to Him. He says, think humbly and then think soberly or calmly. Without getting too one way or the other, bent out of shape, and let God work through you. Let His mind be proved what is that good and acceptable, and thinking humbly and soberly. Not as high as you ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, as He dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then the Bible tells us in verse number six, take a look there, that the Holy Spirit graces believers, grace meaning gives or puts upon believers with ministerial gifts to be used in and through the local church. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, etc. The Holy Spirit has a gift for every single believer, every single one. And if it's spiritual, God says you have to understand it has to come and be powered by Him. By Him. Does that mean that we just sit back and like some kind of robot, wait for the Holy Spirit to take remote control over us? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. If you've ever felt the Holy Spirit moving in you, you know you had the choice to say no. You had the choice to say no. But when you say yes, man, God can do great things through our life, whether it's to help someone, to encourage somebody, to reach out to someone that others aren't, maybe share the gospel, etc. God wants to use us, and His Holy Spirit is available for that. And He gives gifts, as the Bible calls them, to help do that through the body of Christ, the local body of Christ. And that's our next thought. I'm sorry, we'll get that in just a minute. But as we go through this is one passage. There's two other passages we'll look at as we go along. There are three, so that's the blank in the next line. Three groups of gifts of the Spirit can be found in the New Testament for the body of Christ. Three groups of gifts of the Spirit. I know some guys, when they start to preach on this, they've got big, long tests that you take. You know, how many have ever done that? You've taken a test for to see if you're in the Spirit or what the job is for you. I don't have that because first of all, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Okay, so He's the one who's going to show you that. But I do know that the Bible points out specifically some things that He's going to gift His believers in the church with. And this is one passage we'll look at, as I said, others later on. So we're going to look at at least three passages or three groups of gifts of the Spirit in this study. Let's look at the function gifts. We'll call these in Romans 12 the function gifts. Take a look, verse number 3 again. I'm sorry, verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. The idea of the word office there has a function to it. As we go through this list, we'll see that. We're not going to do that tonight, but we're just going to get started on it. There is a function to what the gift has to do. The local Christian congregation is the body, that's the blank here, the body of Christ in our area. Praise the Lord, we have a body of Christ in Eaton Rapids, amen. We send missionaries out to places where some places, they don't have a body of Christ. They're it. And then they begin to reach people, and God continues to work through them. And that's the hope and the goal for us. the local Christian congregation. Each saved and baptized member is assigned an office or function by God, is assigned by God. I don't assign it to you, but if something happens to open up and I say, well, I think so-and-so, you could help out with that, or somebody else comes along and says, you know what, I think you'd be helpful with this particular ministry or service, those are signs that God is moving you to help in those areas. Each saved and baptized member is assigned an office, a function by God. Again, verse number 4, many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Each function supplies a need in the body. That's the next blank. Each function supplies a need. Look at verse number 5 again, please. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And if you go down to verse 13 again, please. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, etc. Are there needs in the church body? How often are there needs in the church body? I mean, it's not Sunday, so they must, and Wednesday, but probably tomorrow they're taking the day off, right? There's no needs tomorrow. You know the answer, don't you? There's needs every day. There's needs every day. And God wants to use you to help somebody else, specifically in this church, but also to help others turn to the Lord and see His grace in this time, whatever the need might be. Each function supplies as a need, or excuse me, each function, yes, supplies a need in the body. The believer's definite choice to serve and follow the Lord any way God wants relies on God's grace and measure of, here's the blank, faith. Faith given to know and accomplish the office that, and function that God assigns. Can I share with you? You need faith to do what God wants you to do. That's what He says in His Word. That's what He claims. And how many would like to grow in their faith? If you don't want to grow, then yeah, your function is going to be pretty limited, but not by God, but by us in our lack of willing to grow in our faith. Faith is important in a lot of things. John chapter 3 starts us out. John the Baptist said this when he saw Jesus, verse number 30.
You must increase, but I must decrease.
Okay. Is that still true today? Jesus must increase and we must decrease. The real joy is when people see the Lord on you instead of you. When they can see that Jesus Christ is working through you, that's where the real joy and ministry can take place. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 11. Sister Carolyn's got that.
But all these things worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will.
All right. The Lord continues to work in each individual believer, so that God can use them. And then 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth.
Okay, thank you. Then the Apostle Paul, right into the church at Thessalonica. We've heard about what's going on in your church. We've heard about people growing in their faith in the Lord. Now we have a faith in Christ for salvation. What is it? What is the faith that has to grow in the Lord? It's our simple daily walk with Him, that what He says we'll do, that everything we've got belongs in His hands. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 is our great verses for every day. Every day, that we offer ourselves up to the Lord every single day. Have you done that today? Have you done that today? God wants to use us in a way that we don't expect, but in a way that He says He can do. He says, here's how it starts. Offer your life to me, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're going to look at some more of that next time. We're going to have extra time to pray tonight. But the gifts of the Spirit, they can help our church. They do help our church. We want to use them in the right way that God says in His Word. So let's go find some partners. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray some extra prayers for these missions.